Okay, so it's recording now.
Okay.
Hi.
My name is Tiara, and your name?
My name is Lindsay.
And here to talk about chapter one of How to Lie with Statistics.
Okay, so this chapter was called The Sample with the Built-In Bias.
Mm-hmm. So first of all, like, this chapter begins with men who graduated from Yale in 1995,
Was it 1924, though? I thought it was 1924.
Oh, my God.
It's fine. It's whatever. It doesn't really matter the year. It doesn't matter.
So,
The example that they used with the Yale students
was that the students, it's like, they asked how many,
what was their income?
What was their average income a year from the people who graduated in that certain year? And so the average was $25,000. And at the time, this was a lot of money. And so people were thinking, like, okay, so if I go to Yale and I graduated in this certain class, then I can expect
or look forward to making this amount, mm-hmm. which, if you read the chapter, is not entirely true.
Yeah.
One of the things that, like, really stood out to me is that these, like, the study that was taken, the people that fill it out, they can literally put whatever they want on mm-hmm. the, I guess, ballot or whatever that they're supposed to answer the question with. They can claim that they make whatever amount they want to make, and that has to do with whatever they're feeling. Like, they can exaggerate the amount in order to make themselves feel better about themselves or to save face. But the figure itself, it doesn't tell the entire truth.
Yeah, and the thing about that is that people can lie on it because either if they make too much money, they lie because they don't want a tax audit or something like that, or they raise taxes. And then people also lie because if they make less than the amount, you know, they want to tell more to make themselves look better. So, and then also it doesn't represent the whole because a lot of people don't actually respond.
Yeah, they don't. It's not entirely reliable because it doesn't include everyone. Mm-hmm. There are students that probably didn't want to entertain the survey. They didn't see it, or they threw it in the trash, or they even lied about the income altogether. So it's very much possible. Well, it has been proven that these types of studies are not entirely reliable. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time when these polls or whatever are created, it's just to feed one agenda, and it doesn't tell the entire truth about the truth. If they wanted to give, you know, just pure information, then I feel like, you know, they would have went out of their way to make sure they asked every single person. And if they realized, hey, you know, we're not getting all of the information needed or that we were looking for, then, you know, let's not even do the study. But clearly, these types of studies are aim to, well, in Yale's case, it's supposed to
make Yale look better.
Yeah, it's supposed to make Yale look more.
And then it goes from there, it goes into, it kind of like gives you an idea what chapter two is going to be about. It's all about marketing. So if they do this certain type of statistics to make Yale seem like a good school, then most likely consumers will want to go to Yale, or students will want to go to Yale because Yale looks so good.
So the type of study that Yale conducted was sampling, and what we found out was that a report based on sampling has to have a representative sample,
mm-hmm.
One where every bias has been removed,
mm-hmm.
and newspapers and magazines are known for reporting stats on things where biases are not taken into account.
Yeah.
They just, you know, blindly take information, sometimes purposely take information that has tons of biases connected to it, and they try to pass it off as fact.
Mm-hmm.
And
a lot of that is because, well, particularly in this study, they sent out, like, these little letters in the mail and, like, asking people to respond to it. And, you know, the bias is still there because people lie and not everyone answer the questionnaire, so.
Yeah, and another example that they gave in the chapter was about the 1932 presidential elections. It was by Literary Digest, and they obviously did a poll where they wanted to ask citizens who they thought was going to win or whoever they were going to vote for, but it turns out that the majority of the people that took this survey and took this test or whatever, They were mostly Republican voters that lived in specific parts of towns, and they came from very specific backgrounds. So it wasn't really reliable at all.
And that kind of raises a question in my mind, because like now on TV, when you see like the statistics of like who's in the lead and whatnot, like how are they getting this data? And they'll talk about like who's the favorite candidate for Republican or Democrat.
Yeah.
Like how are they getting this data? Who's submitting this data? Because I know I didn't submit it.
Well, early on, I remember in the presidential elections when it was like really, really early, and there was a ton of other like nominees and people, you know. I remember there would be like websites where they would have polls on them, and it was like the polls, they were centered around like, oh, if the presidential election happened now, like who would win?
Mm-hmm.
Or it would just be like, I don't know what they're called, but like it happens like every year when they have like a select group of people from like certain backgrounds take like answer surveys or do polls.
Mm-hmm.
On the different candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read them and I saw the results, like, of course I had my own bias about like who I wanted to win in my mind.
Yeah.
But then I also started thinking about like who are they asking these questions to?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of it, I did like a bit of research behind it, and a lot of the time it's like from the people that they ask, they're from like very specific types, like groups.
Mm-hmm.
They're not like just random people off the street.
Yeah.
They're people that would go out of their way to be in this type of survey. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, a lot of these surveys say this is a national opinion. This
mm-hmm.
is not the national opinion. Like you're asking these certain type of people. So that's it's very biased.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So one thing that I learned from this chapter, I guess, would be like polls are used to create false impressions. And I feel like this book in general, it's called How to Lie with Statistics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually stats are just supposed to give you like accurate information on whatever you're trying to figure out.
Yeah.
But thinking about it now, it's like you start thinking about like every single like statistical
mm-hmm. thing. There's
that
so many variables.
Yeah, you're like
that aren't being taken account.
Yeah, you're like, how are you jumping to these conclusions? How are you putting this out in the world for people to see and consume and take seriously and take as fact when
yeah.
it might actually not be fact?
Yeah, and a lot of it, like even on the news and a lot of the they always have like these consumer reports or like these research studies, and a lot of them are like completely ridiculous because they're not even based on a good sample.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it, it's very good to see that this book clearly written out how you can lie with statistics. And even I have fallen for, like, taking a glass of wine a day would help prevent you from getting heart disease. But yeah, I saw that on the news one day, but don't know if it's too real or not, but yeah.
Okay. That was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we can move on to chapter 2.
Hi there, we're back.
Yeah, we're back with chapter 2 of How to Lie with Statistics. This chapter is called The Well-Chosen Average.
Yeah. So in this book, they talk about, you know, what type of averages you should use when you're selling a product or you're like advertising or something like that. So in this book, they talked about this community, and so like they said that the average person in the community makes $25,000 a year. So they try to make try to make the community look better and saying like, oh, this is a rich neighborhood and whatnot. But what the book talked about, they said that, you know, there's an average. You have the mean, medium, and mode.
They said that there's different types of averages.
Mm-hmm.
The mean, median, and mode.
Yeah.
And basically what they came to the conclusion is that averages are unreliable in this case, in these type of cases, because you never know which one you're looking at.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. And so they went on and said, they used this example of like, you know, on one side of the street, you have people who make, you know, $15,000 or no, they make $25,000, and then on the other side you have people who make less than $2,000. So they, in this case, they use the median as the average and saying the person who has the highest number, well, in the middle, the person who was in the middle is the, you know, represented as the average rather than the person who, rather than all of the people. So that one person brought the average up.
Yeah, and it makes you think, like, with this example and with how the averages have been presented in general, when it comes to the lying part, it makes you think that, like, they're using these averages pretty much to make whatever they're mm-hmm. trying to sell to you look better. Mm-hmm. With the houses or whatever, it's very much, if I'm selling you a house that's, like, $75,000, right? Mm-hmm. Well, no. Let's say, like, the average income for the neighborhood is $75,000. But the neighborhood itself, most of them are, like, farmers, or they work, like, desk jobs. So they make, like, they are going to make a little bit less than $75,000. The reason that $75,000 is there and the average is so high is because it's very much possible that there are a couple of millionaires or billionaires sprinkled around the neighborhood,
yeah.
which therefore boosts the average. When actually, most of everyone that lives in the neighborhood is below average.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and, like, I don't really know why this is important, because it's not like the rich people are going to help the poor people out or, like, you know, make it look better. Just because you live in this certain neighborhood doesn't mean, like, you're going to make that much money. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, so, like, okay, knowing this information about averages, how does that, like, make you feel about it?
Like, it's just a way to, you know, manipulate the public's opinion, and I don't necessarily think that it's fear, because not a lot of people are knowledgeable about
yeah.
these certain things, and so
yeah, because when you're, like, going to buy a house or whatever, I'd assume that you are talking to someone, like, the person that's selling you the house,
mm-hmm.
you're expecting to be able to, like, get as much information as possible,
mm-hmm.
like, you expect them to tell you, hey, this is A, B, and C about this property,
mm-hmm.
this is what it's like in this neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But now, like, thinking about it, it's their job, they're trying to make money.
Mm-hmm.
If they know that they can, I guess, not tell you the whole truth or not show you the entire picture,
yeah.
and they can still make as much money as possible, then mm-hmm. they're going to do it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Like, not to, like, shame or, shame a community, but, like, say that I was buying a house in North Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in North Philly, you know, there was, like, this really nice house and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they, like, houses around North Philly, they probably aren't that expensive as buying a house in University City or Sooner City. So, like, they'll charge, in North Philly, they'll charge me, you know, probably over, like, $200,000
mm-hmm.
to buy the house. I don't know the houses of prices, but
yeah, like, we don't have any houses yet.
So. I know they rent about, like, $100,000 or
yeah.
probably like that. But yeah, so, you know, they say that, you know, a person on this block or the average on this block is like $75,000 a year and whatnot. But what they leave out is that, you know, one person makes $75,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
and the rest of the people are, you know, on either on welfare or on WIC, struggling to make, you know, money and survive in life and whatnot. And so, like, they'll overcharge me because, you know, this is the average that they had. So, like, I think in this case, the average that they should be using rather than the median should be the mode, because the mode, you can
see, it's like there's more. Like, there's a trend, like,
you yeah.
the mode is, like, the frequency of, like,
mm-hmm.
how, in this case, how many, like, ever incomes are in the neighborhood. So, if there's a lot of people, like, a mode is, like, $12,000,
yeah.
there's, like, a ton of more people making $12,000 than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would trust that, if anything.
Yeah.
What about, like, the median?
The median? I don't think the median definitely should not be used in this certain situation,
mm-hmm.
because it's just, like, you know, it's just the middle, so it can be either one person or two people, you know, making this amount of money, but not everyone else is.
Yeah.
So the median is, like, what's in the middle.
Yeah, so if it's, yeah, the median, it's in the middle, so there's people that are making, there's someone making that amount, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then there's people that are making less than that, and there's mm-hmm. people making more than that.
Okay.
So I guess, like, the median, like, that could just be one person making, like, $12,000. Yeah. And then everybody else, everyone else is, like, making whatever.
Yeah, like, it can, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it varies. Like,
yeah, that depends.
It really varies. I think the mode is more accurate. And the mean is just, like, not accurate at all in this situation. I wouldn't even consider it in this situation. But, yeah. So, like, averages can definitely be used to influence the public's opinion. So, like, if you're buying a house or if you're doing such and such, make sure you pay attention to the way that people advertise these things.
Mm-hmm. Because most of the time, like, knowing this information now, like, the people that are advertising this stuff, it's based off self-interest. They're mm-hmm. trying to get as much money as possible, make as much money, and sometimes you're going to deal with people that don't care about you in the long run.
Yeah.
Unless you're willing to adhere to their business practices or whatever it is. Just know that people are very self-interested in these types of mm-hmm. cases.
I think everyone is in pursuit of themselves. Mm-hmm. Everyone is in pursuit of self-greed. And
like, ever watched that show, Million Dollar Listing?
No, I haven't.
It's a real estate show. And it's about these, like, realtors, like, all around the country. Like, the one I watch is in New York. And it's just about, like, them, like, selling properties or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if you watch it, like, the way they talk about this in the book, like, selling the houses or whatever, and mm-hmm. them, like, not telling all the information. Well, on the show, like, you can totally see that the realtors are really self-interested. Like, they won't really care about, like, how their client is feeling about, like, a certain, like, property or a certain, like, deal that's being made unless the dealer, like, no, the broker is, like, making a certain amount. Like, mm-hmm. they'll be on the phone, like, arguing with someone over, like, their commission.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, really goes to show, like, you can't trust these people.
You really can't. You really can't. And it's kind of crazy in a way because it's just, like, they're trying to take all of your money.
Okay, like, if you were in that position, if you were the person selling whatever product you're selling, mm-hmm. you want to give stats, would you be more, like, inclined to lie with statistics?
Mm-hmm. You know, based off of my personality and, like, who I am, I know that, you know, whatever you reap, you sow, so, like,
that is so true, though.
And I'm a humble person and whatnot, so, like, I will give you your fair share, like, especially, like, so, like, at work, when I'm designing products and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
and so, and then I go to sell the products, so, like, it would say, okay, so one product, for example, I made, it costs, you know, probably $20 to make, mm-hmm. no, probably less than that, like, $10 to make,
uh-huh.
and so, but, like, you know, I invested some time in, like, design process and thought inside of it. However, my boss was like, you know, even though this costs like $10 to make, we're going to sell this product for $60. And I'm like, what? That's...
Well, your boss is smart because he knows that there are people that actually pay for that.
Yeah, that's true. But, like, I feel like, you know, $10, let's just...
You want to be honest with them.
Yeah.
Like, but, no, the thing is, okay, like, I understand. Okay, this is how I see it. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it takes you $10 to make whatever product you're making, but you sell it for $60, you have to think about, like, shipping and stuff. Also, yeah. you want to be able to make more, like,
mm-hmm.
more of those products. So
but
that,
who's
like,
going to buy that?
Someone bought it, clearly.
Like
if they paid $60 for it, there's clearly a market for whatever.
I mean, it, like, well, the thing is, like, you know, once you make something a certain price, like, You're only making that product available to certain people who can afford to pay for it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not
for everyone
available to everyone. So, like, I feel like that's kind of the way that, like, if you use the average in a way, like, it's really harmful. Well, I don't know. Like, I want to give it to all people, not just a certain group of people who can afford to pay for it.
You're like a free spirit.
I am a free
spirit. You're like world peace. Like, nice and sweet to everyone. I don't know. For me, I want to get into business and stuff, mm-hmm. and I feel like my attitude towards, like, telling my consumers certain information would change depending on, like, what I'm selling, like, mm-hmm. what the product is. Like, for me, like, one of the things I want to do is, like, have a strawberry farm. I'm not even joking, though. I want to have a strawberry farm. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they're strawberries. Like, I feel like they should be available for everybody. So mm-hmm. everyone should be able to have as many strawberries as they want. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to charge them, like, $1 million for it. Mm-hmm. But if what I'm selling is, like, very, like, a niche, like, it's very exclusive, like, mm-hmm. Like, no one else has ever done it before, I feel like I would be more inclined to, I guess, lie a little bit mm-hmm. about it.
Dang, you mean.
Sorry. Like, you're trying to get, like, the bang for your buck.
That's true. Like, yeah. Like, I guess in, like, I forget, either it was, most likely in Japan, like, certain, like, desserts and whatnot are, they're seasonal and they're expensive, so, like, the common people couldn't be able to afford it. So I guess, like, and they sold their product in a way that, you know, it was, like, it made it so, like, rich and extravagant and exclusive. But it's not really. It's just, you know, something that comes from the earth and, you know, there's probably was organic or something like that. But it doesn't really matter, you know. Yeah. Everything is, like, the product should be natural and whatnot. So
like, I guess, to wrap it up, this chapter, I'll sum it up by saying, not everything that glitters is gold.
Amen. Yes.
You can't always trust those averages. So, yes. Yeah.
I like that.
Okay. So, I think that's it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bye. We'll see you in the next chapter, chapter 3.
Yep.
So we're back with chapter 3 of How to Lie with Statistics. Mm-hmm. It's called, well, the chapter is called The Little Figures That Are Not There. Overall, the chapter really talked about information and how, like, the sample space of that information and how getting information from smaller groups will be more beneficial than getting them from larger, as they show, like, a greater impact, well, preferred impact. But that only, like, applies if I wanted to, you know, sway or tell a certain type of story. Because if I, like, ask, if I have 4 people and I ask them, you know, which is better, you know, oranges or apples, and then 3 and 4 of them say that, oh, I like apples more than oranges, that means, like, oh, 70, I can say in my, I can conclude that 75%, of people mm-hmm. liked apples over oranges or oranges over apples. But, you know, it would be less beneficial to me in that study if I used a super large sample space, you know?
So yeah, but, like, the sample space that they were talking about also is, like, who is the sample space? Mm-hmm. And, like, who's representing the sample space? Mm-hmm. If you say it's one thing, but you're actually studying another thing. And so that's how they lie with a lot of stuff. But as we were talking about in the previous podcast, that, like, the toothpaste brand, and so they were taking data about, like, let me set up, like, okay, so they were talking about in this chapter, a toothpaste brand. They said that 23% of the reports reduced cavities. I was trying to figure out, like, where is this data coming from, and so that they said that, you know, 23% of the consumers and, like, whoever's using their toothpaste all over the America or somewhere, they're saying that 23% of them had a reduced cavities. But however, we found out that this data is coming from a lab, so, like, this doesn't represent the consumers as a whole. So, like, most of the time, it's like they're lying about their sample size. Like, what is your sample size and what's being represented? Oh, and then another thing they were talking about is, like, most of the research conducted, it doesn't even make any sense. Like, why they're conducting research when it doesn't even need to be research. Like, I think they were talking about one time, they were, like, talking about, like, something being related to this type of disease. And so, like, we were trying to figure out, like, why are they... Oh, they were talking about vaccines. They were talking about, like, children who live in neighborhoods who have vaccines. No, there were 2 children in the neighborhoods who received vaccines. No, who didn't receive vaccines. And then their children... Wait, let me... Let me start. So there are two children in the neighborhood who didn't receive vaccines out of a population of children who did receive vaccines. And so they were conducting the study and saying, like, well, these children didn't get a disease and something even though they weren't vaccinated. But the thing was, like, they were talking about, like, why would you conduct the study when it doesn't even matter? So most of the time these studies are being conducted and there's no, like, significance behind them.
Mm-hmm. So it's like a complete waste of money.
Yes, waste of time, yeah.
Yeah. Another one of the examples I gave was about an article titled "How Tall Your Child Will Grow," and it was just like a pair of charts for boys and girls, and it like gave like an age and what like height they should be based on their age per year, you know. And people would actually take this chart seriously. They would be like, "Oh, you know, my child's gonna be short if they're this height at this age." When actually, height isn't entirely based off age.
Mm-hmm.
It's based off genetics. If you have tall parents, your parents are relatively, you know, tall or whatever, there's a higher chance that you're going to be tall.
Mm-hmm.
If you have relatively short parents, then there is a pretty good chance that you're going to be short.
And people fall into these traps because they don't really know. It's kind of ignorance because, well, no, it's not ignorance, because ignorance is you know and you choose not to. But, like, it's, like, you're uneducated about the things that are happening, about, like, statistical data and, like, surveying and whatnot. And so, like, it's easy for them to fall into this trap and believe these type of things because
mm-hmm.
they don't know.
Also, I feel like it's also sort of, like, preying on the self-esteem of people
mm-hmm.
because I feel like a lot of these, like, companies, they assume and they know the American population is not, like, they won't actually do the research. They will take things at face value,
yeah.
and they'll judge themselves based off that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the book, they said that with this height chart, it's just as accurate as, while looking at your parents and comparing your height to them, is just as accurate as using the height chart. And yeah, they said that the method isn't scientific and precise like the chart, but it is at least as accurate. So if anything, like, I mean, if I was a company and I knew this information, I knew that I could manipulate the public into feeling bad about themselves so that they'll, you know, buy my product or whatever,
mm-hmm.
then of course I don't want to do it. But, like, knowing this now, personally, like, I'm just, like, it's not surprising, though.
Yeah.
It's not surprising at all.
And, like, going into manipulating the public opinion, like, back in, like, the 90s and, like, the 2000s, when, like, MTV and Spike and all those big companies were out,
mm-hmm.
like, they couldn't really get the adults because, you know, the adults were focused on other things.
Yeah.
But they went after the youth because the youth and the teenagers are the ones, they're running the economy right now because
yeah.
they're the ones who have all this disposable money
mm-hmm.
and don't have responsibility to do it for that. So they'll use statistics in a way to, like, sell the products, like Nike, Spike, MTV.
Yeah, and they also know that, like, even though the kids, like the teens, have a disposable income, they know that the teens will somehow convince their parents to give them money to do this, that, or the
other. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, like, and teenagers are very young, vulnerable, and, like, will do it, take anything that comes their way.
Yeah, really naive
mm-hmm.
about things.
So they like, those major companies were very smart in the way they market it to things. And they even use statistics to find out, like, what type of, like, person or, like, who's the next big model and what they should be going after, like, when they're developing clothes. Like, they'll go out onto streets and, like, interview people and take pictures of them and, like, start a new fashion trend. And by using statistics, they'll find out, like, what's popular and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's right. I saw that documentary on, like, PBS and Mr. Block's class, so you remember, right?
Somewhat.
It was, like, the media, like, how the media portrays things. It was, like, in his first quarter class.
Mm-hmm. I hardly remember Block's class. Whatever, it's fine.
I think that sums up chapter
the chapter.
Three, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we'll see you in chapter 4.
Yay.
We're back with chapter 4 of How to Lie with Statistics, which is called Much Ado About Practically Nothing.
Yeah, so like I really love chapter 4 because I can relate to it on a personal level. So in this chapter, you have two children. You have Peter and Linda. And so, Linda.
They both.
Yeah. So, like, they're both taking an IQ test. And so in this IQ test, the average is considered 100. And so Peter has a 98 and Linda has 101. So therefore, Peter is below average and Linda is the brighter child. But this chapter later goes on, in this situation, they go on to describe that, you know, there's so much that the IQ test leaves out on, like, they leave out on, like...
Yeah, the intelligence test.
Yeah.
So what you would conclude from the test that Peter and Linda took was that Linda was the smarter child,
mm-hmm.
which isn't true because the IQ or intelligent tests, what it lacks is... It doesn't test creative skills. It doesn't test music, your skills mm-hmm. in music or leadership. It only focuses on one thing. And
how well you take the test.
Yes. And well, what I got from this chapter is that, you know, intelligence tests are not very reliable
mm-hmm.
or tests in general that inquire about very specific things
mm-hmm.
because they don't take into account outside circumstances that might influence how that person does on the test. They just make conclusions about the subjects
mm-hmm.
based off of like singular and very biased opinions.
Yeah. So like the SATs is a prime example of this. Like if you come from a certain background or a neighborhood and like you're poor, you can't
mm-hmm.
afford to like take SAT prep, then you're most likely to do horrible on the test. And, like, if you come from a rich background and you can pay for the SAT prep, you do better. And so, like, if you notice the pattern, like, where a lot of suburban schools or a lot of private rich schools, their students do better on these SAT tests because they have the resources and the money to be able to get help to study for the test, versus in the poor neighborhoods where, you know, students don't have these resources to study for the test, so they just do horrible. And so, like, I kind of see this as, like, a hindrance and, what's that word? A hindrance and, like, oppressing, like, a certain neighborhood and a certain group of people because they can't afford to take the test. So you're placed into this bubble where, you know, if you don't do well, you can't get accepted into, like, this certain college and whatnot. But that's, like, as many of us know, in the rest of the community, that these tests don't test who you actually are. They don't test your intelligence.
But, I mean, the people who make the test don't care about that.
They don't.
They know that there's parents out there that, you know, will listen to them and then pressure their kids into, you know, being super competitive or make
mm-hmm.
their kids feel bad about themselves. These parents will go out and, like, buy the... Because usually at the end of these IQ tests, they'll offer, like, books or something, like study books,
mm-hmm.
because they know that the parents whose kids have, like, a low IQ or didn't do as well, they know that the parents will go out and buy that thinking that, oh, this is going to raise my child's IQ or
mm-hmm.
whatever.
And I definitely see that. Like, when I took the SAT test, like, I spent so much money on test prep and the book. Like, the book was, like, I don't know, like $40 or $50. And then the test prep, like, came up to, like, over $1,000. And so it's, like, ridiculous. And my score was still horrible because I didn't really apply myself, because I didn't care.
I did really bad on the SATs the first time I took it. Because when I first took the SAT test, I did, like, really bad. Well, in my opinion, I did bad. For some people, they probably didn't. They probably would think I did pretty good. But for me, like, I know that the reason I did bad wasn't based off, like, prep or because I wasn't prepared. It was because I was nervous and because, like,
mm-hmm.
I had, like, all this anxiety going on during the test that when I went to take it, like, my mind went blank. But, like, for the material on the test, I was prepared because I studied for it. I just needed to get over those, like, few, like, jitters that I was having during it, during it. Which makes me think, you know, when you take intelligence tests, they don't take into account, aside from like the creative or the personality type ones, mm-hmm. they don't take into account that while you may have like a kid that is like considered intelligent, mm-hmm. you don't also take into account that they might have like an anxiety or something when it comes to test taking.
Yeah. And like these tests, like they're saying that like this certain person who has a better IQ is better than the other person. And so this is like how you view things. Like, even though you may be better than me in some one thing, mm-hmm. I'm better than you in another thing. So it's like this like constant competition where people are just trying to be better like at IQ, but like that's not really what it should be about, because like everyone's skills should be used to bring together to make something better, mm-hmm. instead of just like fighting to be better than one skill, which doesn't even matter. So yeah, and like these tests are just like made to like see how well you take the test. They don't really measure anything, and like it's like manipulating the public's views, because like these tests are it's
someone's own personal view of themselves, because there are people that take tests like that extremely seriously, yeah. and like there are people that base their entire self-worth off these tests and what they tell them, that they don't even like realize, you know they don't even question whether that if the test is really trying to help them or not.
Yeah. My personal experience is that like these tests, like if you know me, you know what I do. Like my like my artistic ability, and like my design skills, and like I do carpentry and woodworking, and like
yeah, not everyone is made to do, you know, math equations, yeah. or like chemistry. Some people are way better at building things, things that are and like are really artistic. I'm sure if there was an IQ test that measured
that you could build something, then I would beat it.
If there was an IQ test that measured like creative skill versus being able to like solve science or math equations, mm-hmm. then you would get way different results. The people that had the higher IQ on the intelligence test would get different on the creative aspect of the intelligence test. Mm-hmm. So one thing that, well, continuing into the chapter 4, the intelligence test, the IQ test, they use sampling methods like many other tests do, and they have those type of tests, they have statistical errors in them. And how accurate that sample is, it's represented by standard error and probable error. And they use an example of a cornfield. The example was like, if you're pacing across a cornfield, you're trying to go 100 yards across the cornfield, and you're estimating that. Let's say like each time you miss the 100-yard mark below or above by 3 yards, then that means that the probable error would be about 3%. So when it comes to the IQ test, the probable error, it wouldn't measure how good the test is, but just how consistent it is in measuring a given figure. So Peter's score would actually be 98 plus or minus 3. Mm-hmm. And Linda's score would be 101 plus or minus 3. Mm-hmm. This means that they could have like scored above or below those ranges.
Yeah.
So in actuality, Linda is not the smarter child, just based off that.
Mm-hmm. They could both be the same.
Yeah. So I was looking for some real life examples of this, and I looked them. Like I knew where to go. Like I was like, I know Fox News has some like dumb stuff on there. Fox. Because like, okay, do you ever watch the news and like?
I don't watch TV because of Fox News.
Oh well, if you've ever watched the news, I'm pretty sure you've like seen where they give like stats on stuff.
Yeah, all the time.
And I'm like sometimes like. Before reading this book, I really didn't pay attention to it. But then, like, after reading this specific chapter, I started thinking of, like, I know I have seen some, like, dumb stuff mm-hmm. on the news. Mm-hmm. The news. And it sucks because these news outlets, like Fox News, they're, like, mass media news yeah. outlets. So they reach millions of people every single day. Millions of people watch it every day. And they give these, you know, figures they draw these conclusions and they're not even accurate. Mm-hmm. I'm right. And people consume that and they take that at face value and they shape their opinions and their lifestyle off those little
things. I know, they're like, did you hear this and this? I'm like, yeah, well, that's like, wrong.
Girl. Okay, so what this example, you can't see it because it's like a picture of the graph that they have. But what Fox News was trying to show was the cost of gas based on like national averages. And you have the y-axis, which is from $2.90 all the way up to $3.60. And what they were showing you was the cost of gas based off last year, last week, and current.
Are you serious?
They were comparing things that they were false equivalents.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm just like,
you can't use that in a graph.
Yeah, because
it's current, not, it's like evenly like distributed and whatnot.
Honestly, and people probably looked at this and were like, I hate whatever president is like was in term at this point.
Oh my god.
If you could see this graph, you would be like,
wow. I would see if you could, like, you would spread the data out by weeks. But, like, they jump from year to week, then to current.
Which doesn't make sense because gas prices change all the time. Comparing last week, last year, and the current, like, we're...
Fox News, what's up with you? If you hear us out there.
Honestly. But that just goes to show you that, you know...
They're stupid.
If you know anything about, like...
You found this on our local news?
Huh?
You found this on our local news or, like...
I just looked it up on Google because I knew for some reason that Fox News was going to put, like, have some dumb crap up there.
That and
I was
just like dumb.
Yeah, but they know that there's people that would look at this and be like, oh my gosh, like, I totally believe it. This is gospel right now. So stupid. But yeah, that just really goes to show that... These companies don't care. These people don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, they're smart because they know that there are going to be people that believe them.
Yeah. This book should be changed from How to Lie with Statistics to How to Manipulate the Public's Opinion with Statistics. Because this is very interesting. I have to say, by far, chapter 4 is my favorite chapter.
Yeah. Also, like... People seem to forget, like, when I realized this thing about Fox News, I started thinking about all the other news outlets. If you think about the news outlets, they're all owned by different people with different agendas and opinions, which is why when you go on Fox News, you watch it, and then you compare it to, like, a channel like CNN.
Mm-hmm.
They're both projecting news, but it's masked in their own opinion.
Yeah.
So... You're not actually watching, like, raw, uncut news of what's actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
You're just watching what someone else is saying is happening, you know?
Yeah.
And,
like, all of it's the same because they all copy off of each other. Nothing's ever original anymore. And, if it is original, it's, like, some stupid story about a dog or something. But, yeah, nothing that really matters.
So, yeah, that chapter was really enlightening.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, this is, like, my favorite one.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that I guess it just goes to show how sloppy people can be.
Yeah.
And
how stupid people can believe it.
So. Don't trust IQ tests. You're smart by yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, bye. I'll see you in chapter 5.